As we look to the last day of voting for this at-large Group 3 race, turnout nearing 12%, just under 12%, does that already tell you a story about the significance of this race?
Well, unfortunately, in these local elections, the turnout number is low. That number is consistent with what we've seen in local elections in the past, actually a little bit higher maybe. So with a big turnout, hopefully tomorrow, we'll get that number up. But you've seen a sharp contrast in Duval County between turnout on statewide and national elections versus local, and it's important to get that vote out locally. In local elections,
we have seen and heard the messaging from both the Paulson and the Howland camp. Is there a seminal issue that ultimately decides this race?
Well, you know, there's a recent poll done that says the number one concern of voters in Duval County is crime, and that's not a surprise. It's the big issue facing the state and the country. It's on the minds of many, many people. You look locally at the budget in Duval County is about $1.4 billion a year. Half of that is public safety. So crime is a big issue. The other big issue, according to the poll, downtown development and also infrastructure and transportation. Certainly infrastructure and transportation was addressed somewhat last spring with an increase of 6 cents to the gas tax. So it's on the mind of voters. But those appear to be the top priorities, according to a recent UNF poll, on the minds of Duval County voters.
Can you gauge where the recycling and solid waste collection issue may ultimately have resonated with this race?
Well, it's hard to tell the impact on this race, but overall you can have sense a great deal of frustration on the part of the people of Duval County, a frustration over what's happened over the last 6 months, a frustration over loss of service, and now I think a sense of relief and optimism, hopefully, that this is going to get back on track. I think this could end up being a big issue in 2023, quite frankly, in local elections, when the people of Jacksonville start to look to their future leaders to make sure that we don't have another episode like this one.
And so as we look to the decision that ultimately is being made in this one at-large Group 3, and keeping in mind that this is a representative of the entire city and not just one precinct or one location in the city, does the conclusion, does the result here have implications on 2023? And if so, what?
Potentially so. One thing to keep in mind is that Duval County is officially purple now. It clearly was a red county. It is now purple. And by that, I mean it could go Republican or Democrat. And it is trending blue. As we saw in the presidential election in 2020, Joe Biden, President Biden, the Democratic nominee, won more votes in Duval County first than President Trump. First time that you've had a Democratic nominee do that since 1976. You also saw in 2018 in the statewide Senate and gubernatorial races where the Democratic candidate got more votes in Duval County. In this race, the first race showed that it was a dead heat, evenly split. And as we go into this voting, it is actually too close to call. So some people will be looking to this as an indicator potentially of where Duval County is and where it's trending. But that really could be a little bit misleading. A lot of it depends on turnout. This will be a turnout race in the end, I believe. Too close to call, but many look to it as maybe an indicator of what to expect in the future in Duval County.
Given past elections in the city, to see that Democrats outpaced Republicans by about 5 percentage points, does that give the advantage to Paulson, or is that really what would be expected for the early and mail-in balloting?
Somewhat expected for early and mail-in, and usually if the trends hold true, you'll see a bigger turnout of Republicans on Election Day. That's been true in Duval County. That's been true statewide, and that trend seems to be the case even nationally. So I'm not so sure I would read that much into it at this point. Again, very, very close race, comes down to turnout, so we're going to have to wait and see.
And in a city this size and with 19 members, what, I guess, is riding on one specific race? Again, it's an at-large, so it represents the entire city, but how much really is ultimately riding on this?
From a practical standpoint, it matters a great deal. Remember, right now we have 18 council members. Some initiatives or some legislations could end up, proposed legislation could be a 9-9 vote. This is potentially the 10th vote, which is the vote you need to pass legislation, depending on what initiative is going forward. So you do want to have all 19 members on your city council. Of course, when you're down a member, it makes it that much more challenging to get a majority for legislation to move forward. So two aspects to this election. One is the practical one, which is that 19th member to enable some legislation to move forward. The other is sort of this contest going on that the local Democratic Party and the local Republican Party are looking at in a purple county. is this going to be a Republican or a Democrat that's going to represent to win this election?
Do you see the result of this creating any sort of knee-jerk reaction from either party as they look to 2023?
Not really. I think it'll give a little bit of a boost to the party that comes out on top. But in the end, it's just a little bit of an indicator, and you're not going to have a big turnout. It'll be one of those things that you talk about in a way. But as you look to 2023, I think you're going to see some very competitive races. You're going to see that in the mayor's race. You're going to see that in the sheriff's race. Partisan politics, at the local level, typically not as significant as the national level. But it is going to be closely watched. And if you're on the successful side, you're certainly going to tout it as a big victory.
Beyond this race, when do you anticipate those who have been on the sidelines ultimately coming off and jumping into the race? For example, in the race for sheriff, Ken Jefferson came off the sidelines last week. Daniel Davis is polling well in the UNF poll in terms of name recognition. He didn't poll as well as Donna Deegan. When does he come off the sidelines?
Pretty much. Rich, I think many are focused on November, and that is the midterm elections. Now, midterm often refers to congressional seats when you're talking about the House and Senate at the federal level. But remember, this November also includes the governor's race. It also includes, of course, the Florida legislature, and that's going to be the main focus. And so I don't know if you're going to see official announcements of some coming in, especially if they're raising money before November, maybe just before. For Ken Jefferson and in the sheriff's race, that's a very crowded field with no incumbent. You already have six in the race. I think probably important to get in now, in part because of fundraising and building out your organization, because there is such an active campaign going on by the other five that are already in it. So we're still a long way out. It's a year from next month before the election. And so those candidates are trying to raise money, build out their organization, gain support. But as far as coming off the sidelines, I don't think you're going to see the public begin to really focus on local elections until after the fall.